Golf Talk America is brought to you in part by Club Corp, the world leader in private clubs. Go to clubcorp.com for more information.
The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on pgatour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
Well, hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you. It is Monday, the 10th of December, and we're winding down this year, getting ready for 2019. The tour, obviously, in the time of the season where they play a little bit of fun golf here and there. The Europeans are still playing, and there's some events going on, but nobody's going to be making a lot of money or doing much for as far as FedEx Cup points go until everybody heads to Hawaii. So in that context, we're going to be joined by Earl Forsey very shortly with PGA Tour Radio. He'll kind of put a capper on the 2018 season as he saw it. We might also talk to Earl a little bit, just to have fun, about the Redskins and a little football, ouch, too. As we all know, he's one of the main men in Washington, D.C., works with the CBS affiliate there, radio, and does a lot of Redskins stuff. So we love talking football with Earl as well. Frank Bassett, as you just stubbed your toe, we can hear in the Nashville studios. How you doing, Frank?
Ouch. I'm doing well. Back from the trip to South Carolina just in time, by the way.
Yeah, that went well. Did that go well?
It did. It went well. Second again this year. There you go. Oh, second place again this year. Yeah.
Bridesmaid.
But it was great. Santee Winter Classic in Santee, South Carolina. I want to shout out to all of our friends, Claudio DeMarchi, who puts that on every year. So if you look up Santee Winter Four-Ball Classic, I should say, check it out and get signed up for next year. We had over 100-plus players this year. And,
very nice.
It was a lot of fun. Great time. And Todd Miller and his lovely bride, Penny. Todd's the general manager, and Penny runs the pro shop. And then they have a big staff there. So Lake Marion Golf Club, Santee Country Club, Santee National. Great, great facilities, man. Great food.
Nice. You got out of there without some bad weather?
It was chilly.
Yeah.
But kind of like for Rich Lerner's thing today. It's chilly down in Orlando at Champions Gate.
But, that's right.
He's got but we had fun.
Charity tournament. Good.
And very Sweeney nice was with me, so needless to say, he and I shared a condominium.
Wow,
down there.
Well, normally that sentence is different. We shared a jail cell. So this
that
is
not true.
A condominium's better.
I always get private accommodations in the county jail. Thank you.
Hey, by the way, there was some golf being played. I did reference that, the QBE shootout every year this year, which is a team event that they play for fun. Again, there's no FedEx Cup points for this, being played in Fort Myers, Florida. And Patton Kizzire, Ryan Harmon, congratulations, picked up a nice little chunk of change and won at 30 under.
Simon's Mafia won.
Shot a 61 in the better ball format. And we got to give congratulations to Usi. Louis Oosthuizen wins the South African Open, finished at 18 under, and that's on the European Tour, and it's his first win in 3 years. And so he got emotional after that, too, because we hear about that all the time. We'll talk with Earl, too, but we hear about that all the time. Guys go through these droughts, and, you know, we talk about Jordan Spieth hasn't won in a year. And all. Guys, those droughts sometimes last longer than they think. They're always thinking the next tournament, but in Usi's case, it took 3 years, but he got back in the winner's circle. And we're happy to see that. One of the finest swings you're ever going to see. All right, we've teased him enough. So we've talked about Earl Forsey and PJ Tour Radio. Let's bring him in and talk a little bit about the past season and maybe looking ahead to 2019 for the PJ Tour. Earl, thanks for being with us today. How you doing?
No, I'm doing okay. How you guys doing today?
I sense some despair in that voice.
Oh, I can't.
We know why.
You're so good to do this. I know it's a depressing day, but we'll get to a little football in a second. We'll vent a little bit there.
It's been a depressing year. It's been a depressing decade. It's been a depressing forever.
Half a century. I know.
Welcome to Tennessee, too. Same difference, although we're hanging in there barely. So,
hey, Earl. So 2018 golf season, any fond memories, anything that sticks out to you that you enjoyed, a tournament, a player coming from, like we were talking about, Oosthuizen, anything that really you remember back in 2018 fondly?
Well, the events I cover, you know, it's not all of them, but it's most of them. Can it get any better than what happened at East Lake with the whole vibe, the whole scene, especially on Sunday? And one guy, you know, I mean, it's – look, it's a deep lineup of players. It's deeper than it's ever been. But golf, like any other sport, is a star-driven, entertainment vehicle. And there's one star that shines brighter than most, and it's that guy. It's Tiger. And what he did, and kind of capping off the year with what he did, and breaking back through, and I mean that scene at 18, just everything at the Tour Championship was just, it was phenomenal. It was cool to be a part of, because I think most of us had gotten to the point where didn't think we'd see that again, and maybe he had gotten to that point, maybe probably not. I mean, all these guys you talked about, Ustase and working for 3 years to get back, and we saw, Phil's victory drought end, things like that. They're better people than I, because I don't know if I'd stick with it that long without seeing, when I say results, wins. I mean, you're out there to win.
Yeah.
It's a great way to make a living. Obviously, you don't have to win to do it, but, I'm about W's and L's. And I think that guy that won in Atlanta certainly is about that. And I know your priorities change what you go through and that type of thing, but that was a scene that, I think is kind of in etched in a lot of people's minds from the way things finished up last season.
Well, Earl, you do most of the tournaments, as you previously said, and East Lake is the obvious. But of the fun tournaments that we have on the PGA Tour, what's the most entertaining tournament for you to do as the host of PGA Tour Radio? What's the most fun that you guys can have and kind of loosey-goosey?
I think the biggest tournament we do is the Players. I mean, that's obviously, and now that's going to be switching back. That's always fun, no matter what happens, no matter how big the margin is or who's in the mix or anything, just because of the importance of that tournament. And it's all, it's kind of a week to celebrate the tour, and all, the top players are there. So it's really a top-notch signature flagship kind of deal. I always think that week, I'm a guy that I don't push storylines. I don't try to make something out of nothing. I kind of just, I think sports, you just sit back and let it develop. Usually the games or the tournaments or whatever you're covering do a pretty good job of the story developing, no matter where it's coming from. So there's something always going on there, and it's just, it's such a big deal each and every year. And that by far to me is always the highlight of the year. I thought, just personally, if you're looking for other things, I thought Phil getting back in the win column in Mexico at the Mexico Championship was
pretty
a big
cool.
deal. It was feel good. It was a lot of fun. Pushed by Justin Thomas at the end. We had the hole. I mean, it looked like Phil was just kind of cruising in. And then, all of a sudden, the victory was snatched from him and he had to earn it. It was that, I thought, that early season, there's so many tournaments. I mean, that was, back in early March, for goodness sakes. But I thought that one was kind of a cool deal, too.
Yeah, that was. Well, you talk about the Players' Championship moving back to March. That is fun for all of us because the entire team's always there. I mean, our executive producer brings everybody in. We have a big event, and we're there with it's the home game for us. Everybody knows on this show that's my favorite tournament, period, because of all the years I lived down there. I know Tim's going to throw up in his mask, but I love it down there. I love Ponte Vedra, love Jacksonville, and again, we're all together. And I want the electric company to promise this year that they will not connect the broadcast radio tent on the same generator that is running the air-conditioned portalets. So
that was a couple of years.
That
ago
was 2 years
you
ago.
Get over that thing.
I can't, because you were so cool, Earl. I have to tell our listeners, you're there. I mean, your notes, the three-ring binders are there. You're ready to go. Countdown to on air, boom, 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 pow, the power goes off. All you do is fold up your folders real quick and jump in a cart and blast into the clubhouse to do a remote broadcast in there. It was just smooth. It was funny.
He's a veteran.
He is a veteran, yeah. Yeah, that was 2 years ago.
I've been on the air. First of all, thank you. I mean, I could have just talked louder, too. Most of the people, at least in the greater Jacksonville area, whatever. I'm used to doing – I've been around doing this for a while, doing games and college basketball. I've had, I used to travel. I used to set up my own equipment. I mean, I think pretty much a lot of guys still do that. But I'm a I'm a tech geek too, so I know how to do all that stuff. And I used to work for Dan. I could do all that stuff. But I used to travel with my own equipment, and I was always jury-rigging stuff. I mean, I would have my board. The power cord wasn't right, and you have a rubber band around it just to keep yourself on the air. So, I mean, I'm used to that stuff.
We know that. You know, aluminum foil.
I was sitting there one day doing a post-game wrap-up, and it was, I think, an NCAA tournament game. And, you know, they like to pack up pretty quickly, and the guy pulled all the plugs, like the main power strip. You know, and I'm sitting there doing wrap-up.
Still on.
And he says, brrr. You just hear everything go down. And I throw my hands up in the air. It's like, you know. Come on, help me out. So you go through that stuff. I mean, you know, it happens even when you're in studio.
Yeah.
Those sure. things happen. So, yeah, you just, you know, I've been around long enough. You just, where do you go? Where's the next thing? You always have to have a backup somewhere, and you just.
Yeah,
you know,
you're always ready for it.
You go to
you're
the backup plan. It's nothing's ever going to work smoothly. So, yeah, that was, you know, that's logistically a huge undertaking, you know, for that. The whole broadcast. I mean, you know, we got a lot of people that work on it and good people that work on it. And just doing this, it's, you know, you don't just show up and get in a, and I'm not saying that's what you do for games, but you can do a radio broadcast. I don't care what it is, NFL, whatever. You can, you know, show up with your mic and your, whatever your board or everything set up in the press box and you just, everything's in front of you, you know. It's nice to have the crowd effects and all that stuff, but you don't have to have it. You know, early days when I was producing, you know what my crowd effects was? I would take an EV-635A, a microphone, which is a workhorse mic, which you could use to hammer nails, and then it would still work. It's a great little mic. You plug it in, you hang it out the window of the press box. That was the effects. You know, I mean, that's yeah. you know, that's the way you would get crowd noise. That's the way I used to do it. Like throw one yeah. on the floor, you know, on the when I'm doing college basketball. And now you get all the effects feeds from Fox and CBS. It's great. It's wonderful. But that's not, you know, it's not the way. Radio broadcast always was, you know, you kind of, it's bare bones, man. It's, you know, you show up with a mic and you dial up and you go in the air. And I've had it done before where, you know, it used to be phone was your backup on those things. You know, you always had just an open phone line. And, I've been producing where the guy had and I had to do it once too, where if the actual equipment goes out, you're just on the phone. It's like you're talking to a friend describing the action. I mean, that's what you have to do to get something on the air, you know.
We're joined by Earl Forsey with PGA Tour Radio, taking a little walk down memory lane there. Hey, Earl, so 2018, a lot of good memories there for a lot of people. Tiger probably being the highlight for everybody. What do you think about the upcoming season, 2019? Do you have any expectations, maybe Tiger as well, what you think he might do? Will he win a major? And any other storylines that you think might unfold?
Yeah, well, I guess I think that's obviously number one. You know, that was great. And it was awesome to see him get back number 80, the big 8-0 and all that stuff. And it's always a question, isn't it? Can you do it again? I mean, when teams win championships, like the seventh question is, can you repeat? I mean, and that's always going to be the case. And now can you follow it up? Can he kind of get back to being, you know, a somewhat consistent player now. And the major thing obviously is the next big, you know, hurdle. Can he do that again? The emergence of the young players in the fall, certainly, I mean, it's kind of easy to forget about the fall. We went through with Cameron Champ, the guy kind of setting, you know, everything on its ear again with the distance and the way he plays. And the way last season ended with, I thought, with aside from Tiger in the playoffs to end it, you know, Bryson DeChambeau was dominant there at the end, winning two back to back three times last season and was in the driver's seat going to Atlanta and didn't quite get it done. But, you know, that was, I thought, a big storyline for the game of golf because, you know, that's a very unique way of going about things that most people probably around the game kind of raise an eyebrow too. It's like, yeah, that's nice. It's interesting, but you know, it's not going to work. I can't see it working, you know, consistently. Well, I guess it does. Whatever he's doing, it's working. And, you know, he's become one of the top players in the game now. It's not just, you know, it was great when he got a win, you know, it's like, okay, he proved you can do it. And then he gets another win. You kind of justify that and you verify, you know, what you've done, you can do it again. And then what he did was, you know, he almost, you know, took home the title basically. Going about it a very unique way. And I'm in a business now, and sports in general, there's so many numbers and there's so many measurables. You know, it used to be, let's use baseball as an example. you know, it was about home runs, you hit for average, and a pitcher is about wins, right? That's it. Now it's about everything else. We saw a Cy Young Award win. A guy went 10-9, won a Cy Young. And I know it's, and believe me, the younger guys, those people I'm on the air with, you know, it's all the analytics and everything. Well, that's kind of what DeChambeau does. It's about the analytics, and it's about, you know, this trajectory and win and angle, all these, like, you know, measurables. And that's the big thing in all of sports now. You know, top speed and where it's football and, you know, velocity of the ball coming out, all these things that, you know, do matter. I understand that, but it, you know, it's not as cut and dry as it used to be. What? And that's the changing and, you know, to see it come to golf. I mean, it's not just, that's not the only sport. It's been, it's come to all the other sports and, you know, with all these measurables and all the numbers. I mean, you can go dizzy looking at all the numbers that shot link that the PGA Tour puts out. Oh, and a lot of these guys,
huge
amount inside of them.
Yeah, you know? Huge. Huge amount of numbers, Earl. I mean, that's, and speak to this, with gambling as it's evolving now and legalization of gambling, imagine the poor handicappers, guys, that are having to look at all this data now. Now, it used to be it was four or five factors, maybe something they had in their back pocket they knew from someone that said something to someone to someone. Now, you need a Cray computer, and for our listeners who don't know what that is, that was the old super computer. You need something that huge to massage all these numbers. These poor handicappers are just, they're earning their keep now.
You're the first that I've known it. Poor handicappers. The poor gamblers.
Well.
The bookies.
Yeah,
the bookies.
Poor bookies.
Hard time making a living. It was about the bookies.
I don't know
about those. It's Christmas time.
Look, it's useful. See, the part, everybody, whatever it is, it's not just sports. People have a tendency to take something and then push it way too far. Or put way too much importance in something. And in the end, it is, you know, and I know I'm the dinosaur, and I always say this, you know, it's about the W's and L's at the end. It's about, do you succeed? Are you in golf? Are you playing well enough to win in sports? You know, did you win the game? Look, we might not have time today, but I know you wanted to ask me about football, and I'm all depressed because of what's going on here. But we had folks complaining in this town when the Redskins were 6-3 and up by two games. Well, you know, the offense. The quarterback's only throwing for 175 yards a game, and it's just not, you know, it's not the Rams. It's not Kansas City. Everybody wants all those analytics, all those numbers, and the five touchdown passes. They were winning games. They were 6-3. They haven't won a game since, you know, the top quarterback went down. My point is, and I was going to put out something today, it's like, I guess winning ugly, you know, for the first 9 weeks doesn't look so bad now, does it? And that's the whole thing. It's not, sometimes you just can't measure it. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, here we had that, you know, the top quarterback, Alex Smith, got a bad situation and went down with that ugly injury. But, you know, I've been saying for weeks, it's like, you can't discount the fact that they hadn't won a game since he went out. And I know you can put it numbers and the, you know, the passing percentage and all this stuff and everything. But one thing you can't measure is just the intangible. It's the old, you know, the Jimmy the Greek, you know, on CBS, you know, NFL Today. I got the intangibles, you know. And it's the things you just can't measure. Leadership or whatever, or just in golf. You know, just the mental toughness, grinding out, and just finding a way with all the things you can measure and analyze and put a number to, just taking as few amount of shots as you can to get the ball from over there to in the hole. It's oversimplifying it, but some guys do it better than others, and sometimes you just can't measure, you know, that you can't put a tangible analytic number on that. And in the end, and you know what? The other thing you can't put an actual number on just breaks luck. And sports is sports many times. And I
bounce
would
the ball
most times, if not all the time, it's just a break here and there. Somebody gets a good break, somebody gets a bad break. And that's something that can never be measured. And usually, especially when it's close, and, you know, a lot of these golf tournaments, most of them come down to the wire. It's about just crazy break or just stroke of luck, something that just happens, right place, right time.
Well, Earl, you kind of led us down that road, and I know we're a little bit short on time with you. You got other things you got to do today, so let's jump into it, and we can finish off with a little NFL talk here. And tough day against the Giants. As you said, they haven't won since 6-3. Now they find themselves 6-7. Is anybody in town, and I was watching some of that game, the Giants Redskins game. The final was 40-16, probably not even that close. Not much of a crowd. We talked about this before. Are the people in Washington just what is their attitude? Tell us what the atmosphere
what
is like
think?
At a game.
what do you think? You see that place?
I mean, it was empty. Yeah.
I'm not used to this. I'm just not used to it. But I can understand it because, you know, and I've said this too. I'm a guy because when I grew up and the team I rooted for, it got me into sports, you know, that type of thing. That team with Gibbs and their winning championships, you always expected them to adjust and to do something to make it better. You knew they would at least fix things if they were broken. They were always going to be – that's not the case anymore. It hasn't been for 20, 25 years. So you have a fan base, 30, 35-year-old, you know, adults with families that don't remember anything other than the show that's going on right now, and it's not a good one. Yeah. And it's been that way for, a quarter century, 25, 30 years. So, yeah, that's why what you saw is – way to the Philadelphia game. I mean, at the end of the year. So they're kind of done. They're toast, you know, with all the injuries and just the horrendous situation with the quarterback. And that's a, you know, it's a tough situation personally.
Yeah, what's going to happen there? What are they going to do with the quarterback? Any idea for, like, next year? Any thoughts on what they're going to – because it looks like Alex Smith may not even be able to play next year, right?
Yeah, it's you know, I think right now – be honest with you, with the Alex Smith situation, with the complications and stuff that have been reported, with that ugly injury he suffered against Houston, you can't expect him to be able to play at least to start next year. I mean, if at all next year, or maybe at all, maybe never again. That is a tough situation. And the bottom line is he's got a family, he's got wife and kids and stuff. Just get healthy. And if he doesn't play football again, so be it. But from the Redskins perspective, from a team perspective, they're locked in. You know, for two more years, they signed him to an extension when they made the trade, and there's accelerators there when he's on the roster at a certain point when the new league year flips over and everything, which he will be. They're on the hook for, you know, if believe reports, just to generalize things, probably about 42 million over the next 2 years for a player that may not even be able to play again. So they're in a bad situation. They're gonna have to draft a QB and just hope because they're not going to be able to spend on anything because they have. And, you know, cross your fingers, maybe, you know, things turn for him and he'll be able to play. But it's not like a lot of these – that's why a lot of these other teams, most of them in contention, have the young QBs. You know, it's the guys that aren't making a lot of money, and it's the rookie contract guys, and it's the Trubisky's and Jared Goff's and Carson Wentz, people like that, Dak Prescott. Hey, I'm guessing folks in Dallas aren't too upset with giving up a number one pick for Amari Cooper now. So,
no, they're actually seeing if they can draw papers that he could be mayor. So that could happen in a week or two.
I don't know. Yeah. Last time I was on with you, but I said when that trade was made, and, you know, there's people around here wanted them, you know, this is when things are going well, wanted the Redskins to do it. To try to at least be involved in that, to try to get a guy, because they need desperately a player maker too. And I said then, you know, if it takes a number one pick to get an established guy, a young guy like that, go for it. Because look at the litter. The league is littered with bad number one picks. Everybody's like, well, you can't give up the value of the number one pick. Well, yeah, you can if you get a guy that's a game changer, a difference maker. And what he's done the last few weeks, starting with the Redskins game on Thanksgiving Day and then yesterday, he's already in just what he's done the last few weeks, justified the number one pick, no matter what happens from here. I mean, what a great move. And, you know, for those people are going to be quiet now because the narrative is turned against them. But the fact is, and if that's what it took to get him, I think you should go out and get a guy. He did, you know, Jerry Jones did. And that certainly helped them turn things around. But yeah, it's
if you had to pick teams now, right now, for Super Bowl, who you're looking at right now? And we certainly have a lot of football still to be played, but we're getting down to the nitty gritty here. Who do you like?
Well, that's really good because the NFC is kind of. I'm still not an ultimate believer in the Rams, just because I think you saw last night what can happen to get in a cold weather climate. Now,
sure,
and a good defense. I mean, the Bears 4 interceptions for Goff. I mean, that's not good, but they're probably not going to have to do that because of the record they have. I thought New Orleans was. I like them a lot. And I think you go down into their stadium and that's, I mean, the Redskins on Monday night, anybody saw that? It's like a hornet's nest going into there. I think it's tough. I mean, but, you know, it looks like the Rams are going to have the home field. So, but you never, you know, they could get knocked off. I'm still going to stick with New Orleans, but they have just, you know, something's gone off the rails a little bit for them the last few weeks.
I'll
stick with Breeze. And does anybody trust Andy Reid? They're going to have home field now. They lost yesterday, but I know that team. I mean, I saw the Redskins play against him for years and years and years. Something happens. Something's going to go wrong in the playoffs, no matter how dominant, how unstoppable they look. It's just until he gets over that hurdle, and he's got the Super Bowl, I know, with McNabb and everything, but I can't. It's tough for me to pick against New England, but the way they lost and now the road to the AFC Championship does not go through Foxborough. That makes the task easier for the Chiefs, certainly. It sways it in their favor. I'll stick with New Orleans and New England, but I think the Chiefs now certainly have the upper hand if, Andy Reid can get over that hurdle, and that's, a hurdle in the playoffs, and they've had issues before, and they had it last year at Kansas City, and until you do it, you're going to be the guy that can't do it, and that's going to be their issue, I think. But that's also a tough place to play, and it will be. That's, to go into there and win in the playoffs is going to be tough to do it in Kansas City for anybody.
Sure, it is. Well, Earl, we appreciate it. Insight into everything that you know, which is a vast quantity of knowledge here up in the noggin, and golf and football. And best of luck to you. I know it's a tough year. There's a few more games still to be played, and it's always next year for the Redskins. But there's always next year on the PGA Tour as well, and we look forward. What's the next or the first event you'll be having here in the 2019 season?
It'll be the first few days of January, the Century Tournament of Champions. We get underway in about a few weeks in Maui, and it's very early this year. So it's the first week of January, and we'll be back at it. Start up and go week to week after that. But, you say there's always next year. I'm at the point, guys. I don't know how many,
Oops.
There,
how many times you can say that?
Next year, I'm never counting that. why wait for something you can do now?
What 1-800 suicide prevention? It's gonna be okay.
No, I'm not saying it that way. I'm just saying I'm probably in the back nine at some point in the back nine, and I'm not sure. I never count those next years.
Number seven
great for them. They have next year, but I'm not sure I do.
You're leading the tournament by one, and number 17 is looming. There you go.
I can't wait. I'm an impatient person, so it's great. Well, this is next year, but I don't want to wait till next year.
Well, we're looking forward to spending time with you next year, Earl, out on the road and seeing you in Ponte Vedra.
And I'm not sure next year is going to be any different than this year.
It will. It'll be better
from the local sports.
It'll be better
perspective, but
yeah. We'll talk Bryce Harper next time.
That's another. Oh. One. Yeah. You know what happened with that? I know I got to go. I do. I got to go.
One more thing.
I have Misery Monday. And, that's what happens here. It's Misery Monday when they lose. So I got all day on the air.
New theme.
Bryce Harper. So they're announcing their new pitcher. The Nats were. They signed Patrick Corbin, this, hard thrown lefty. They're announcing him last Friday at Nats Park. And we're doing shows from down there. And the owner of the Nationals comes on, afterwards just to talk with us. And he's just opening up about, Bryce is great and we love him. And we made an offer and that's about all we can do. And I just don't think he's going to be back. In general, that's what he said. And I'm sitting there, I'm doing updates and I'm listening. It's like, did he just, because, it's kind of been for a couple of months here. They made an offer and let's see what happens in free agency. That's the good PR public spin to things. And when the owner of the team comes out and pretty much says, and he's right, there's too much money. I mean, his words, there's too much money out there and to leave on the table. And we've just gone as far as we can. So I don't think he's going to be back. I mean, kind of just spelled it out. So that became the story here on Friday it looks like that is a done deal. And wow. I mean, we'll see how that works out. And it's a lot of money. I know. And he's going to get it. And everything's set up now. Vegas next week, his hometown, the winter meetings. We'll see what happens. But, it doesn't look like he's going to be back in town. But the first really, hard inkling we got of that was Friday when the owner on our station, the Fan, kind of said that was what's going to happen. So,
wow. Well, it should be a Merry Christmas, I think, in the 4C household. You guys can't wait.
You're vicious,
Earl,
Tim.
We do appreciate it. We know you're a busy guy. Thanks so much for your time. We will talk to you again real soon. And
guys.
And congratulations on a great 2018, and I'm sure it'll be a great PGA Tour wise, 2019 for you guys and everybody on PGA Tour.
And this is halfway through the off season, so a few more weeks and we'll be back at it and just grinding every week. We'll be there for you. Happy holidays.
Same to you, buddy.
Thank you, Earl.
Thanks much, Earl.
Take care.
Yep.
See you, pal.
Earl Forsyth, PGA Tour Radio, the happiest man on the planet.
Oh, poor Earl. It's just he needs to move to Foxborough. Go somewhere where there's a winner.
He is right, and it's most cities are like that. I mean, most cities don't win championships, so it is what it is, and it's not any different if you're in Dallas or a lot of places that maybe you haven't won titles in a long, long time. That's what you go through, and Philadelphia went through it forever, and then they won a Super Bowl, right, last year, first ever.
Well, that
Everybody's
was incredible.
Crazy. And now this year they're like, okay, well, now we're not even going to make the playoffs. I mean, it's like the shine wears off really quickly. So even if you've won a few championships, what have you done for me lately? Certainly comes into play for most sports fans.
Yeah, well.
And definitely Earl.
So let's get back to golf for a minute because this, the 2018-2019 wraparound season, I guess, 2019 coming up. Did you hear the story at web.com, Tour Q School, about Cody Blick?
No, I didn't. Fill me in.
Are you kidding? You haven't heard this story. He was three shots outside of the top 40 heading into Sunday's final round. And he walks up that Sunday morning getting ready to go practice, and where are my clubs? They're gone. Someone stole his golf clubs. Stolen. Gone. Nowhere to be found. And this guy is on the – Cody Blick is on the edge. I mean, he's just a few out of the top 40, the promised land, to at least get into eight tournaments on the web.com tour. He offers – now, here's the kicker. He immediately sends out on social media $5,000 cash, no questions asked. I want my clubs.
Bring
please,
my clubs back.
Just bring them back. Now, my first question is, who walks around with $5,000 in their pocket? But – in all seriousness, he no questions asked, $5,000, unable to recover his clubs, so he has to go in and do a mismatch.
By the way, let me just—I don't—I don't want—I don't want to mess up the story. But where did they steal him from? Like the club? Did
it must have been
the club where he's playing.
Must have been the club,
house or apartment. Okay,
I guess I'm not sure of that. Whether it was in his car, whatever. But he says he gets to the course and the clubs have been stolen. So obviously, it might have happened there. Who knows? But so he has to go in. And he borrows the superintendent's driver. He gets wedges out of the pro shop. And then random irons, just a mishmash of irons in his bag. And a 2-inch too long, heavier than usual putter that he has to borrow to use.
I played with that in my bag before.
Yeah.
That set of clubs.
Did you shoot 9-under 63 with those clubs?
That's a great finish to the story.
He shot 63, included birdies at his final three holes, took him into the coveted top 40. He made
it in. With a homemade bag?
With a homemade bag, a putter that was so twice as heavy as his old putter, the superintendent's driver. That's a great story. Isn't that a great story? So congratulations, Cody. I mean, congratulations, Cody Blick. And play well out there on the web.com tour and win a couple jump on over with the
ball. By the way, what is wrong with people? I mean, just stop taking from other people. What is somebody going to do with a set of golf clubs? I guarantee you they sold them for $50.
At a pawn shop. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. What are you going to do with a set of golf clubs?
Well, what are you going to do with a bag with somebody's name on it? And it's got to be a red flag to some of these buffoons. Yeah. I better be careful with this one. Pawnbrokers carry weapons.
Anyway.
But to come in, here, Tiger Woods. I'm Tiger. Yeah, I want to sell my clubs. right. Please.
I didn't know Tiger comes to pawn shops. But
I don't think he does. Yeah.
Well, good for him. Good for him. Yeah. He kind of thumbed his nose at all that somebody would kind of mess up his life, and he said,
he went out and birdied the first two holes.
Good for him.
Now, if he had gone out probably and bogeyed the first two holes, he would have gone, oh, these clubs, I can't play them, whatever. He birdies the first two holes, sends him on his way to just a fabulous round of golf, a 63.
Good for him.
In the final round of Q School, a 63. That's a big number. I mean, that's a low number. I mean,
Wow,
great
story. So Frank, are we going to Hawaii? I haven't booked my ticket.
Probably
yet.
Not.
I would like to be there.
Yeah, would too.
That'd be nice.
Hint, hint. Sponsors.
That would be nice.
Club Corp, can you send us to Hawaii?
Club Corp, we should be in Hawaii.
And I've got,
you know, it'd be a nice start to the season.
It would be a great start. We're looking forward to doing more with Club Corp next year, too, at Pinehurst and Firestone, and doing some special events for them. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And of course, it's pretty cold here in Nashville. I haven't spent a lot of time out at my club. I have my flight scope unit. Yours should be on its way. I'll check on that today.
Okay. Yeah, good.
And I haven't been able to use it because the weather has just been, it was cold in South Carolina and didn't really have time to spend time on the range over there. We were just, it was more entertainment and tournament time. But here, it's just too darn cold to stand out on the range and hit balls. So, flight scope, please don't take it back from me yet.
I haven't used it.
I haven't used it.
Did you get any snow?
We did get a little bit of snow. I have to tell you, coming back from Santee midweek last week, Wednesday afternoon, I drove through the mountains, which I love that drive. I could have flown, but I love the drive between Nashville and Charleston, because you go through Knoxville, and then you get into the mountains, you go through Asheville. It's just gorgeous through there.
Yeah.
And anyway, I jump in the car that morning to come back. It's chilly, cold. I get 40 miles outside of Asheville, south of Asheville, and it proceeds to white out on me. Snow blowing, just, I mean, beautiful, but it snowed on me all the way through the mountains. Roads weren't bad, but it was just gorgeous. I mean, Asheville, December, the mountain, the Smoky Mountains, you know, just wow. It was just beautiful.
Good.
But no, we didn't really get any snow or anything, so to speak of, on the ground. Hey, again, at the top of the show, shout out to the boys from St. Simon's Island, Kazire and Harmon, both great guys for holding off Graham McDowell, his team, for the second year in a row, came in second. So I understand coming in second 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
I do.
There's so many similarities between you and Graham.
Absolutely. Well, the looks, especially the looks. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Swing pass. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No.
Especially the looks.
We're going to be at the PGA Merchandise Show. That's our next big event really coming up. That we'll be on site doing a live show. So for those of you that are listeners that are... It's
in January.
In January, third week of January, PGA of America merchandise show. For you PGA professionals out there, stop by. We'll be doing the show from 11 to 1, I think, 10 to 1, 11 to 1, noon hours, on the big stage there, the radio stage. So stop by and say hi, and, you know, who knows, put a headset on you and let you talk to us a little bit. That'd be fun. So we're going to be doing 2-hour live shows for 3 days in a row. Then we're taking off to go over to the Atlantic coast of Florida to play in the Golf Writers Association of America annual event. So that's going to be a blast. So
like in Palm Beach or something?
No, it's going to be over around Palm Harbor, that area. I don't have all the details on it in front of me, but it's supposed to be a fabulous golf course there. I think it's part of Salamander. I'm not sure. I better not say that until I'm sure. But the GWAA annual tournament, probably come in second.
probably.
I doubt it. Not in that tournament. There are a lot of good players, really good players.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to the whole season coming up, and particularly the players. I'm going to do my best to make it there and be at that event. Haven't been to a Players, so I'm looking forward to going there. And then the Masters, you know, we'll be here before we know it. It's in April.
It will.
But Tiger and Jordan Spieth, which is a little bit weird because neither of them have won in a long time. I guess Tiger has,
but
not a major. Yeah, but not a major. And Jordan hasn't won anything in the past year. But they're the favorites. So I think it just speaks to how well those two are built for playing Augusta National. So those are the favorites. I'm really looking forward to the first major and seeing all the drama, and on top of which it's the Masters, and hopefully we'll be there. Love going there and doing the
we're in negotiations with several entities right now in regard to that.
Good.
So yeah, we'll as you
great
know
season. So yeah, great year.
We're gonna have a great year. I mean, with Club Corp jumping on the Golf Talk America bandwagon, we can't thank them enough for what they've done for us and what they're doing for us and our plans for the future. The whole crowd over there in Dallas, your hometown, great folks and great, 300 clubs. Are you serious? Join one. You can go to all of them. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a great year. So, all right, Frank, well, let's play some music, and we'll get out of here. We're going to call, make sure Earl's still okay.
Yeah.
I was a little bit worried.
me too.
What might happen?
Me too.
You keep trying to give him a little bit of ray of sunshine. There's always next year. He goes, no, there's not next year.
No,
there won't be next year.
I don't want to live.
There's tomorrow. There's
I'm
tomorrow.
Take this whole bottle
tomorrow.
Of pills.
It's not going to work. I'm heading to the garage, closing the door.
Oh, God. All
right. But we do appreciate Earl and all his wisdom and insight and a little bit of depression as well. Always fun to have Earl join us. And as always, people, thanks for listening. We do appreciate everybody listening to us here on PGA Tour Radio. And the entire crew, PGA Tour, as we said, it'll start in Hawaii. So make sure you're back on the air and listening to everybody on for the first event coming up in Hawaii. Well, for Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for being with us. And please remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.